But I do have a message I wanted to bring today, and I've been praying about for some time. Share a little story. I met a young lady a while back. Won't go into details on a young lady. Maybe a Christian, I don't know. Don't know her that well. But she asked me a question. She asked me if I believed in basically eternal security, if I believed that a Christian could lose their salvation. And what I shared with her was, first of all, what I believe doesn't matter. What I believe doesn't matter. What is true is what matters. Okay. And so what I told her was, I believe the Bible clearly teaches that a Christian, a believer, can't lose their salvation. Now, I don't know where you stand on this thing, but hopefully through this, maybe you'll learn something, maybe you'll share something. This is my first time. I'm not good at the first time when I give a message. I'm not good at the second time. I'm not good at the third time. But what I notice is that it builds some. Some of you will come and you'll share something with me, and I can add to the message. So I want to encourage that. I want to encourage for you. So I titled the message, Eternal Life and Eternal Security. They are two different things. They are two different things, eternal life and eternal security. I have a lot to go through. This is a topical. What's nice about a book study is you pretty much spend the time in that book, you open to that book, and that's where you're at. In a topical, you're doing a lot of flipping around. If you're not comfortable going to all these different passages, I will share with you, I'm pretty much sticking in the book of John and the epistle of John. I may jump around here and there for a couple others. But I'll throw the verses up there. I do use the New American Standard. Hopefully it's a little bit more easy to read. So if you're comfortable with that. But I do encourage you, I learned long ago in my Christian walk to bring notepad and paper, and I jot down things. And then that day I'll go back and I'll start looking at those verses, look around those verses. So I want to encourage you in this thing here as well. Not that anything I have is worth holding, but it is the Word of God. And that's what's important to it, the Word of God. So let's take a look at a few things. Eternal life, I always like outlines that helps me keep on topic. Outline here, eternal life, different from eternal security. Eternal life, its length and its quality. And then eternal security, external threats, and falling away, internal threats, if you will. So here's kind of the question, and I'll focus on, first of all, notice the true-false. I'm not saying this is a true statement. I'm asking you, is this a true or false statement? Because a person becomes a Christian by simply believing in Jesus Christ, that is, his person, he's God, he's man, his person and his work, substitutionary death on the cross. A person can stop being a Christian, that is, lose their salvation, if or when he or she stops believing. Now, is that a true or false question? Is that a true or false question? And it's rhetorical. I don't ask you to answer audibly here, but I want you to think about that. Okay, here's a person who, maybe at a younger age, at an earlier time, believed. And at a later time, they no longer believe. They no longer believe. Don't answer. Don't answer. Because there's some people who might be offended. That's why. Okay. Don't answer. So we're going to go through, and from the Word of God, I remember Bill McDonald once shared with me. He says, Skip, when you tell someone the truth, they may remember 10% of it. But if you help them see the truth, they'll never forget. That has been true with me so much. That's why I ask a lot of questions. Even in college, I would ask so many questions. I asked one professor who wanted me to go on for my doctorate. He said, what do you think of me as a student? He said, man, you ask a lot of questions. And I could tell he was a bit frustrated, because I do. I ask a lot of questions. But that's how I learn. Hopefully, and I don't feel bad about it, because Jesus asked his disciples a lot of questions. Okay, so let's take a look. Eternal life, its length. We're talking about the first subtopic, if you will. Eternal life is linked. So from John 10, verses 28 through 20, you'll see them down here, 27, 28. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. Now, three things I want you to see three things in this. The three characteristics, three required characteristics of a believer. Notice that. My sheep, A, hear my voice. Do you hear the voice of Jesus? Do you hear? Now, Jesus said, you know, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Well, what do you mean? Okay, it tickles your ear, but you turn away. You walk away. You know, the true believer hears the voice. The true believer hears the voice of Jesus. So many times, the words just tickled my ear. Just tickled my ear. And I walked away. And I walked away. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, ask yourself this. Do you hear? Or are you just going to walk away? Yeah, maybe some other day. Some other day. And you go out and you get hit by a truck. Hopefully not. Okay. My sheep hear my voice. Second thing, and I know them. Notice this, it does not say, and they know me. You know, I know Donald Trump. But he doesn't know me. Right? Okay. You maybe have heard of Jesus. You maybe have heard of Jesus, but does he know you? Now he knows you. Perfectly, oina. By the way, that's why I have this thing here, the gnosko here. If you're new here, I oftentimes will bring up the Greek words because there are two Greek words for the word know. And you should know the distinction between them, oina and gnosko. Oina is a perfect knowledge. Gnosko is a knowledge that you grow in. You grow in this knowledge, okay? When Jesus, speaking of the Father to the Pharisees, he said, I know the Father. And he used the word oida. Perfect knowledge. Of the infinite one. Perfect knowledge. They picked up stones to stone him. They picked up stones. So if anyone ever challenges you that Jesus never claimed to be God, you point them to that verse. Because the Jews knew exactly what he was saying. When he said, I know them. But here it's gnosko. It's that familiarity, that time spent thing. I know my brother. You don't know my brother. I can describe my brother to you, but you don't know him. You've had no interface with him. I've grown up with the guy. So I know my brother very well. I know his habits. I know his form. I can see a shadow and know it's my brother. One thing is, it's very tall. Does he know you? I know them. I know them. And they follow me. How many times has he said, Skip, are you going to follow me? This verse, yes, Lord, turns me around. Three characteristics. Are these the characteristics in your life? Do you hear the voice of the Son of God? Do you hear his voice? Does he know you? Or are you a complete stranger? Remember the word, many will come to me in those days and will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not? Lord, Lord, did we not? Lord, Lord, did we? And I say to them, be gone from me, you who practice evil, for I never knew you. For I never knew you. And I give to them eternal life, right? I keep getting that wrong. I'm sorry, I memorized it backwards. I give eternal life to them. I'll stumble over that line. It's the same thing, I know. But I'll stumble over that. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. And they shall never perish. Remember, Jesus used a phrase many people don't understand, where the worm never dies. He's talking about outer destruction, the outer darkness. He's talking about the lake of fire where the worm never dies. What he means from that is that In the old days, they believed that the body, when you buried it, that a worm eats the body. A worm eats the body. And that's why the body disintegrates, okay? The worm eats it. And when the body is completely disintegrated, the worm dies because there's nothing left to eat. But this is a place where the worm never dies. This is a place where the worm never dies. Like, we brought this verse up this morning. In fact, a lot of it. versus what we're looking at, we're brought up during breaking of bread. Dealing out, this is from 2 Thessalonians, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of God. That eternal destruction is what he's talking about there. That eternal destruction is where the worm never dies. It doesn't mean you're destroyed for the rest of eternity. It does not mean that you have been destroyed for the rest of eternity. No past perfect tense. Okay? What it means is you're being destroyed for the rest of eternity. The worm never dies. The worm never dies because you're never, ever destroyed. You're just being destroyed. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please consider these words. Jesus offers you eternal life, but the only other option is eternal death. The lake of fire. Also, I bring up, I didn't have it in my notes, but I bring up today, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death and life. I stress, has eternal life. I say this because eternal life is not something you're promised in the future. It's something you have today. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's something you have today, eternal life. That's very important. We're going to talk about quality. Here. Jesus said to her, don't forget this one. Jesus said to her, this is Martha at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And he who believes in me and lives shall never die. You get that? Never die. Shall never die. What he's talking about, he who believes in me shall live even if he dies. That's those who die, pass on, who are believers in Jesus, who pass on and await the rapture. Await the rapture of the church. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who believes in me and lives, that's those who are still alive at the time of the rapture. That's those who are still alive at the time of rapture. They never die. They shall never die. I remember hearing so many times at work, only two things are sure, death and taxes. And I would always say, well, taxes maybe. Eternal life is not eternal life if it's not eternal life. Kind of sounds simple, right? But that's the stretch. If it's not eternal, it's not eternal. Now let's talk about quality. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I'll bring up here, you know, a good speaker and a great message. If 40 years later you can remember the message, Bill McDonald gave a message on this verse, and I to this day I still remember it. He illustrates. I can't draw pictures, and I searched in the internet. That's a waste of time. So, but in your mind, okay, imagine a garden faucet dripping. I want you to see it in your mind. A garden faucet dripping. It's got cobwebs all over in it. Good. Good. Is that your Christian life? Good. Good. That was what Bill McDonald was talking to you. Is that your Christian life? Good. Good. Now imagine the cobwebs blown away and that faucet turned on full blast. And just gushing like a fire hydrant. That's the Christian life God wants you to have. That's the life he wants you to have. Skip. Are you a dripping faucet? Are you gushing forth with life? Eternal life is not just a long lake. It's that quality of life. It's that quality of life. Jesus came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Why don't I have life abundantly? Jesus' words, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you skip unless you abide in me. It was an intermediate Christian training once. We had to do a time analysis of our week, starting with Monday, going through Sunday. Every half hour, from midnight to midnight, every half hour, what were you doing? What were you doing? What were you doing? What were you doing? At the end of the week, you look back and you say, okay, where did I abide this week? I looked at it and said, I abided at work. That's how much, I mean, look at the time. I'm abiding at work. That's what this abide in me. Skip, you need to abide in me, or you're not going to bear fruit. You're not going to be, your life is going to be a dripping faucet, Skip. You need to abide in me. What does that mean? It means every moment. He doesn't leave me. He's always with me. I had a good friend of mine walking the beach once. He's walking the beach. He's looking at the sunset. Oh, I wish Jennifer was here. Oh, I wish Martha was here. Oh, I wish Jane was here. He had a lot of girlfriends. I'm sorry. But finally, the Lord spoke to him and said, Steve, I'm here. Can you share it with me? You get it? Is Jesus with you? My life changed completely when in tennis, Jesus was on the court with me. Now, he wasn't making shots. But he was on the court with me. My changed my attitude in tennis from the back. I need him on the golf course, by the way. Abide in me. That means my life, my daughter, when she was young, she had a girlfriend in the neighborhood. We were headed out the door. The girl came over and said, can Hannah play? Can Hannah play? I said, no, I'm sorry. Hannah can't play. We're on our way to Bible study. This is what the little girl said to me. She said, man, you sure spend a lot of time at church. Would anyone accuse you of that? You sure spend a lot of time at church. You sure spend a lot of time in the Word. You sure spend a lot of time helping people. Whatever. Abide in me. Is my faucet dripping? Is my faucet dripping? Eternal life, both length and quality. Now we're going to turn and look at. Oh, it's funny, my goodness. My goodness. We'll look at eternal security. Let's look at some external threats. External threats. My sheep hear my voice. Remember, I shared this a little bit. We're going to continue on. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given to me, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them from my Father's hand. I am the Father. There is no one who can take me out of the Father's hand. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no one who can take you out of the Father's hand. These are external threats. These are external threats. I remember as a young believer, now I don't believe in visions and all that, so please don't mistake this. But in my mind, I'm sitting in an apartment complex, this is long before we were married, and I'm envisioning Satan across from me, saying, you know, if I wanted to, I could take it. And I would both reverently or fearfully say, I'm out of the way. What greater is he within me? No one can take you out of my Father's hand. Looking at the book of Romans, chapter 8, we looked at this a while back. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? These are all outward things that can. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That was an incredible climax in that chapter, remember? An incredible climax. To understand this, there is nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. External threats. 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. And in there, if you look in the context, you can see he's talking about demons, he's talking about false teachers. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You have overcome. If you're a believer, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, remember what we talked about, his person and his work. His person and his work. You have done this. And you have overcome. There's no demon that can take it out of the Father's hand. Let's look at illustration of what it means to believe. This is talking about the falling away. So this is talking about that question of what about those who once believed and no longer believe? This is really where the crux is, right? This is really where it comes down to, like, help me understand this text. So let's look at a couple of illustrations that Jesus uses. This is in the book of John. Remember, the book of John, these things have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. I do the five fingers. Remember that. You got five fingers that helped me get them all. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. I was taught in English. I did not do very well in English in college, by the way. But I was taught in English about doing essays. Okay. And John is a fantastic essay on these five topics. You go through the book of John and you look for each of these five things. That you may believe. What does it mean to believe? That Jesus is the Christ. What does it mean? He's the Christ, the anointed of God. The Son of God. What does that mean? And that believing you might have life. What does that mean? In his name. What does that mean? Okay. So believe is a major topic in the book of John. What I challenge people to, as you look through the book of John, look for illustration where you would normally insert the word believe, where you would normally insert the word believe. John uses an illustration instead. So let's look at the first one. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that's one where you would normally say, unless one is a believer, unless one believes, he shall not enter the kingdom of God. He shall not see the kingdom of God. But instead, Jesus is using a picture. He's using a picture of birth, of natural birth. Remember, Nicodemus' answer to this was, how can a man be born when he is old? Does he enter into his mother's womb and be born a second time? You know. But look at that illustration. How many of you think you can be unborn? You get it? You get it? The illustration is a one-way only. You can't be unborn. You can't be unborn. Let's look at the second illustration given. All right? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. Okay? Eat the flesh of the Son of Man. Now, understanding, when you eat something, it becomes part of you. It fills your body. It gives energy to your body. It dissipates. All through, it becomes you. And once that's done, you can't undo that process. And we're not talking about going into the stomach and regurgitating. No. We're talking about it has entered in and become. There are many people who taste, I'm going to try this out. Okay. And then they walk away. Why? They regurgitate it out. No, Jesus says, unless you eat, take it all the way in. It's all of you. You can't undo the drinking. It's become part of you. You can't become an unchristian when you go to work. I'm sorry. You can't go into the government and set Christianity aside. It doesn't work. He is you, or he's not you. Falling 6:60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? This is just after what Jesus said. Jesus told a bunch of Jews, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. To them, it sounds like cannibalism. Does it sound like cannibalism to you? I mean, come on. And a Jew would sit there going, wait a minute, you know, are you nuts? Are you crazy? And Jesus, Son of God, knows full well they're not catching it. Notice this. I asked some of you this question several years ago, of his disciples. Is it possible to be a disciple and not be saved? Is it possible to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and not be saved? Many of his disciples, when they heard this, walked away. Many of his disciples, when they heard this. So consider, Jesus just told them, excuse me, Jesus just told them, you know, cannibalism, at least, you know, that's what they're saying, and they walk away. And Jesus knows full well. And what did Jesus do? Jesus ran to them and said, hold on, wait a minute, you're not understanding. Let me try to explain, because you're looking at, no, they walked away. They walked away. The whole purpose of that, matter of fact, John shares this, you know, the feeding of the 5,000 is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and in John. Okay. But John's the only one that covers the next day. This passage. And there's a reason. It's John's written this, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay. So what happens the next day, Jesus allows him to walk away. He turns to his disciples. Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, you do not want to walk away also. May I ask you this question? Do you want to walk away? Because that's what Jesus is talking about here. This is the pinnacle. I call this the ascent of Mount Paseo. Paseo being the Greek word for to believe. This is the ascent. You're on this ascension, and here you reach the apex. What does it mean to believe? To truly believe? Salvation means eat the flesh, drink the blood. Okay. The flesh speaks of his person. God, man. God become man. He's not just any old man. And the blood speaks of his work. The blood, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I talk about that. Unless you eat the flesh and drink his blood, unless you receive that he is the Son of God, God eternal, become man, died on the cross for my sins. So Jesus asked him, therefore, to the 12, do you want to go away also? Do you? And what was Peter's response? To whom shall we go? You know, sometimes the Word of God is difficult. Sometimes the Word of God is difficult to understand. Sometimes it's difficult because it means I got to do something I didn't want to do. I need to go apologize to somebody, and I do not feel like apologizing. But the Word of God, that's what this is about. That's what this is about. Jesus wanted you and I to see Peter's response. Peter didn't understand this any better than anyone else. But Lord, to whom shall we go? When he tells you to do something you don't want to do, is your response, Lord, to whom shall I go? You're the one asking for a question. So I ask you this question. What would it take for you to walk away? What would it take for you to walk away? Maybe the person who led you to the Lord, falling in sin. Cause you to walk away. When you leave mommy and daddy's house, go to college. That's going to cause you to walk away. Some professor going to make a fool out of Christians. That's going to make you walk away. You got to ask these questions, because believe me, what would it take for you to cause you to walk away? There's somebody out there in this world who will bring it to you, whatever it takes to get you to walk away. There's somebody in this world who will bring it to you. So you have to have this idea, this understanding. No, to whom shall we turn? There is no, I don't understand evolution, none of that. But this I know, Lord. You have the perfect plan. Do I want to follow the professor or Jesus? What would it take to cause you to walk away? Let's look at some examples. Let's look at Demas. Look at Demas. So we look at Demas in Colossians and Philippians, Colossians and Philemon. The two letters are written together, both to the Colossae church. Philemon is a member of the Colossae church. But in there, at the end of these two letters, Paul mentions Demas as one of those who were with there. One of those. Demas sends you greetings. One of those. But later on, this happened rather early, but late, not within about 61 AD, I think it was. But just before Paul's death, he writes this letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 10. It says, "For Demas, having loved this present world, has left me, has deserted me. For Demas, having loved this present world, what would it take for you to turn away?" It hurt Paul greatly. It does happen. It does happen. I've seen people who, they were up on a pulpit preaching. Gone. What would it take? Let's take a look. 1 John. Very key passage. 1 John. Memorize this one, if you will. Memorize this one. They went, this is hard to read, by the way. So I separated it down. Notice the semicolon at the end. Semicolon, semicolon, and period. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown. They were not of us. They were not all of us. They went out from us. They left. They were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. You can't be unborn. You can't uneat, undrink. But you can fake. There may be some here who fake very well. You don't fake very well for long. They went out. That's why. Now, ladies are studying Hebrews. I want to be careful here. Eventually, the ladies will come to the right conclusion, which is my conclusion. Now, there's some passages in Hebrews that stumble people. They give people some difficulty. Well, I want to cover some of these. Take care, brethren. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Further down, 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm to the end. So a couple things. Sometimes the word brethren stumble you. Remember who this is. It is a Jew writing to Jews. This is a Jew writing to Jews. It does not necessarily mean believers. Take care, brethren. Lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart and falling away from the living God. Turn to Rome, to Hebrews chapter 3. Like I say, the ladies are studying this, so you've already got a marker in your Bible. Hebrews. We're gonna glance at this. We're not gonna study it in detail, but every once in a while a speaker has people turn to pages in the Bible just to wake them up. If you step back to verse 7, in chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, as when they provoked me as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with this generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall never enter my rest. They shall not enter my rest. That's what's leading up to verse 12. That's what's leading, he's talking about in the wilderness, okay? What Hebrews is getting to is they all came through the cloud. They all ate from the manna, from the ground. They all drank from the spiritual rock. However, with most of them, God was not pleased. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Underline those. Evil, unbelieving heart. Listen to the words that God is saying. You know, I've heard some people think that those Israelites that died in the wilderness, they're still saved. They're still in glory. Have you listened to the words that God said of them? Evil, unbelieving heart, you shall not enter my rest. He's not saying, well, you're going to have to wait a while because you did that. No, he's serious. As a picture to us, it's a picture of salvation coming out of it. But when you look at the details of an individual, every individual is saved only by the grace of God through faith. They don't have. Therefore, let us fear. Chapter 4. Therefore, let us fear, lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. What does he mean? Well, first of all, I need to explain this word fear a bit. Okay. I don't do woodworking like Sarah does. I don't. I have a skill saw, I have a table saw. And I live in fear of both. When I see my son, I do this. I still have all 10 fingers. And none of them are a half finger, you know. Okay, I live in fear of these things. Before I turn that button on, man, I could lose a leg. I could lose an arm. I live in fear. I'm not terrified, but I'm respectful. I'm very respectful of that. I taught my son working with electric circuits in the house. I taught him, you go and you turn the power off and you put a piece of blue tape over that switch. Tells anybody going up there, this is off for a reason. Don't touch. Before I do that, by the way, I plug a radio in, turn it on nice and loud. Right there where I'm working. Nice and loud here. She loves you! Yeah. Sorry. Turn it on loud. Then I go switch the breaker off and I notice the radio's not playing. If while I'm working that radio comes on, man, I back off. Okay, somebody has thrown a switch. I live in fear. That's what this is. Brethren, therefore let us fear. Lest while promise remains of entering his rest, any one of them. Now, this does not mean that I should live in fear that maybe Whitney is going to fall away. It doesn't mean that. Look at myself. Lord, am I? And it's not a fear of terror, it's a understanding. Let me, again, go back to abide in me. Abide in me. What does that mean? If I find that I'm not coming to church on Sundays, I'm not comfortable with that, beware. If I find my Bible sits dusty, I don't pick it up, not a day, weeks, months, and I'm comfortable with that, Fear. That's what's going on here. Am I becoming comfortable the further I get to the fears? Fear.
Hello.
about the individual who was once walking with Christ, but is no longer? What about this individual? Well, let's look at two things. May have been saved, but not walking in the light, not abiding in the vine. May have been saved, not walking in the light, not abiding in the vine. Person who's walking, right? Well, quite possibly never been saved. Quite possibly never been saved. Okay. If this is you, which one is it? Real simple. Real simple for you to realize, to recognize. You walk away. You walk away. Remember all those disciples that walked away. Are you one who could come to the Lord? I've been walking in darkness. Lord, I've been apart from the fire. Lord, I desire to come back. I can tell you this from true experience in my life. There was a time when I was walking in darkness. I came to church, and I was walking in darkness. When someone asked me to pray, I was uncomfortable. Why? Because every time I pray, there's a ceiling there where the Holy Spirit says to me, "Skip, there's something you need to do it first. Skip, there's something you need to do. I don't want to pray." Skip, will you give thanks for the prayer? Can you get somebody else? Is that you? Like I say, I've had experience with this. I walked in darkness. I didn't count the days, but probably it had been 3 months. You know what it feels like? I'll tell you what it feels like. Remember the prodigal son eating pig slop? That's what it feels like. When you know there's boundaries. All I need to do is come. If I come to you, I've got to confess. Yeah. And when I came, I returned. And he took me in like a beloved brother, beloved Lord he is. Maybe that's you. Maybe you never were saved. You know, it is possible to know the truth, but not believe the truth. Do you understand that? To not receive it. But to as many as received him, to them gave you the right to become children of God. Did you receive him, or did you just believe because your daddy wanted you to believe? Or because it was a popular thing to do? Or did you take and eat the flesh of the Son of God? No. No matter what, to the end, Lord, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. To the end, cast away everything, Lord. But this one thing, when I was a young believer, shared this before, when I was a young believer, I shared with you, I love Keith Green, I love Keith Green. He had a song, "I Don't Want to Fall Away From You." You know, a lot of believers didn't like Keith Green, because some of his song, maybe doctrinally, "I don't want to fall away from you." What I envision, and I apologize, I'm not an artist. Everyone in my family is an artist but me, by the way. I wish I could have my sister draw this picture for me. The picture is a close-up of me holding on to the robe of Jesus. And I am holding on so tight. And my fingers are white. And my face has got fear all over it. Because I'm so afraid of falling. So afraid of falling. My hands might give out. I might give out. Oh Lord, no. No, Lord. And then you pull back. And you see him. You got me by the hands. I'm not going to fall. If that's you, understand, God wants you not to be afraid. He's got you. If you're his, he's got you. It's he who holds on to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He knows them. He gives his life for them. He's the good shepherd. He's the one who goes after. He leaves the 99 here and goes after the one. He's the one who holds you. He's the one who said to his father, of all that you have given me, of all that you have given me, I've lost none except the one that the scripture fulfilled. Of all those who come to him, he's lost none. It's he that holds me, it's he that holds you. But if you have not eaten the flesh, taken him to yourself, that's that word lambano, but to as many as received, lambano, have you taken hold of the salvation he offered to you? Or are you going to walk away? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy to us. Thank you so much for such a perfect salvation you give us in Jesus. Lord, I do lift up if there be any here who have not received, who have not taken hold, so that your Spirit will speak to them. And for any here who maybe have been walking in darkness, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will draw them back to life, draw them back to your boundaries. Is at your table. Lord, we thank you now for this time. We pray that you be with us. Bless us. Lord, we lift up to you, Lord, Denny, in the situation here. And again, Lord, we pray for wisdom for the doctors, strength, and encouragement to the family there. Lord, we thank you and praise you. In your only name.